My dad doesn't watch much TV. He hates sports. He's an atheist. His main pastime is reading. Books on Buddhism, philosophy. He loves William Blake and science books and left-leaning blogs. And his story ideas, they're generally big and abstract. For example, when I called him for this project the other night, one idea he thought I should do a story about was the idea of coming out of the closet. This idea has been so key, he said, in advancing the cause of gay rights, and he wanted me to do a story about how other groups should adopt the tactics of coming out in order to seek mainstream acceptance. What other groups? Atheists. Also, people who don't like sports. His other idea, at least initially, seemed equally as unpromising.
The fact that law treats corporations as if they were people.
He'd been thinking about the idea of corporate personhood for years, but it was especially on his mind during the conversation I had with him, which took place just a couple of days after that Supreme Court decision overturning large parts of campaign finance law. That decision, the Citizens United case, basically said there is no distinction between a corporation spending a lot of money on campaign ads and a regular person doing it. In the eyes of the law, the corporation can buy as many ads as it wants. To my dad, that seems crazy and dangerous.
We've kind of created these Goliaths, these Godzillas parading around as if they were people. But in fact, they have a kind of power that no individual person could ever begin to amass.
Right.
So there is this entity called Exxon Corporation.
Uh-huh.
And you read newspaper stories about Exxon says, or Exxon was furious.
You've never read a sentence that said Exxon was furious, have you?
Well, Exxon was upset.
All right, I'm going to Google it right now. They would say a spokesman from Exxon.
I bet you're wrong.
Funny story here. He's right. I'm wrong. There is lots of Exxon announced. Exxon complained. Exxon did this and that. So who should I talk to, though?
Well, I think that's the story idea, is who do you talk to? Who becomes the voice of Exxon?
So the idea would be I would try in search of Exxon.
In search of Exxon.
Who
is this? We treat them as a person, and who do they think they are? Who do you think you are?
All right. I will try to do that. I'll try to find out who Exxon thinks they are. I'm not going to lie. This didn't go well. I called Exxon and spoke to a media relations person there, told her about how my dad and I had this conversation, and I wanted to find out who Exxon thought it was. The lady was very nice, but she said she didn't see any reason Exxon would ever want to talk to me about this. And this way, Exxon is just like a lot of people. If they don't want to talk to the media, you can't really make them. I called around to other multinational corporations, same answer. Then I tried the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the trade group for most of American business. The guy there was a little bit more receptive, and he called me back with a name, Eugene Volokh. He's the guy you should talk to. Although when I reached Eugene Volokh, he couldn't explain why the Chamber of Commerce sent me to him.
You know, I am not sure. I think... somebody at the Chamber of Commerce reads my blog.
So Eugene Volokh turns out not to be a spokesman for corporate America in any way. He's a charming libertarian-leaning law professor at UCLA. He runs a popular blog called The Volokh Conspiracy, though he's written a lot about constitutional issues in the Citizens United case. And the more we talked, the more I had to let go of my Michael Moore dreams, asking stunty questions designed to expose the fallacy of corporate personhood, such as, what's Exxon's favorite color? Or what does Exxon want for Christmas? Or who's Exxon's favorite Beatle? That line of questioning, Eugene Volokh told me in so many words, is stupid.
Corporations are generally seen as having many constitutional rights, but it's not because somehow they're metaphysically persons. It's because restricting corporations in various ways restricts the rights of persons. It restricts the rights of their owners, and it restricts perhaps the rights of others.
Others being, for example, people who want to hear what the corporation has to say. All right, I'm just going to stop here and say, by the time I got to this point in my conversation with Eugene Volokh, I already knew that the story my dad wanted me to do was in trouble. So, Dad, if you don't mind, I took up a different question. And the question I took up is this. How worried should he be about the Citizens United case? Okay, a little background on the idea of corporations as people. When it comes to property rights, corporations are basically the same as you and I. The government can't take away their property without due process. That's protected under the 14th Amendment. But when it comes to something like the 5th Amendment, which says you can't be forced to incriminate yourself in a court of law, corporations are not covered. All those TV dramas and congressional hearings where people plead the 5th, Exxon can't do that. So, corporations are legally like people in some respects and unlike them in others. And it's in this context that the issue of corporate spending on campaigns comes up. The Supreme Court has dealt with this issue a handful of times over the last century. Early on, it ruled that corporations, like individuals, are restricted in how much they can contribute directly to a candidate for office. But later on, the Supreme Court passed a series of rulings that upheld the notion that corporations and unions are different from individuals when it comes to stuff like buying TV ads. If I'm a billionaire and I want to take out a series of ads for Barack Obama or Sarah Palin, there is nothing in the law to restrict me. My right to speak and to pay to have my message broadcast is protected by the First Amendment. But the Supreme Court ruled corporations and unions don't have the same rights. The idea being the amount of money these organizations have to spend is so large they could effectively drown out all other points of view. Those rulings remained in effect for over three decades until the Citizens United case overturned them. And the reasoning for the reversal goes something like this. Corporations at their root are organizations of people who've banded together for some purpose. And just because the purpose is mostly to make money doesn't mean that the people who make up the corporations lose their rights of free expression. People band together all the time in all sorts of ways, environmental groups, labor unions, religious organizations, and often they band together for the express purpose of pooling their capital and amplifying their message. I may not be able to afford my own ad on television voicing my opposition to handgun restrictions, but if I band together with other like-minded people to form the NRA, then I can. If it's all right for the NRA or the Sierra Club to use its amassed wealth to share the views of its members, the reasoning goes it should be okay for the members of Exxon to do so as well. Here's Tim Sandifer for the Pacific Legal Foundation, which wrote an amicus brief in support of the Supreme Court's decision in the Citizens United case.
If you believe that the Lutheran Church should be allowed to express itself on something, or if you believe that the Sierra Club should be allowed to express itself on something, you're saying exactly the same thing, which is people should be allowed to express themselves.
But I just feel like there's such a huge difference between the Lutheran Church and, you know, ExxonMobil.
I bet you the Lutheran Church is bigger than ExxonMobil. I know the Catholic Church is, and far more politically influential. So why not restrict the rights of the Catholic Church? The answer is because the First Amendment prohibits it, right?
Right.
And the First Amendment prohibits it when it comes to Exxon also.
The great irony of the conservatives' argument in this case is that they have turned the First Amendment into democracy's foe.
After several days spent talking to people on both sides of this issue, I realized that each side looks at the other as naive just about different things. That was law professor Bert Newborn, an expert on the notion of corporate personhood at New York University. He filed a brief for the other side in the Citizens United case, opposing Tim Sandifer. Sandifer believes that liberals are naive about government. They always think it's going to be wiser and more virtuous than it is in reality. Bert Newborn thinks conservatives are naive about corporations. They don't consider them as dangerous and coercive as they actually are.
We're living in a world now where in every single statehouse in the country, the following conversation is going on. It's a young kid, an earnest young kid hired by the lobbyists wearing Gucci loafers and a blazer. And the kid is saying to some grizzled politician, look, I feel terrible about this, but I can't control my boss on this issue. He's crazy. On this issue, if you don't go with us, I don't know what he's going to do. And that's going on now in every single statehouse. And if you don't think that's going to change the nature of American politics, politicians looking at a wall of money that can fall on them now because the Supreme Court has given a cultural and legal green light, then I think you just don't understand human nature.
I should say that the effect of the decision is likely to be neither as grave nor as wonderful as various people have said.
We return now to Eugene Volokh, unofficial spokesman for Corporate America. He says that when it comes to the particulars of the Citizens United decision, there is some data on what the effect is likely to be. Roughly half the states already live in the world created by Citizens United. In other words, half the states make no restrictions on what corporations or labor unions can spend on campaign ads for candidates for state office. So, says Eugene Volokh,
we had a natural sort of experiment. And if you look at it, actually, if you look at Governing Magazine, it puts out a grading the states report card. You look at the three states that just barely got an A, A minuses, Washington State, Utah, Virginia. They were among the states that did not restrict corporate or union spending.
So these are the states that will that look like what this decision makes the entire country look like, basically.
Exactly.
In other words, the three states that got the highest grades from Governing Magazine all allowed unlimited corporate spending in state elections. That Governing Magazine report, by the way, was done in collaboration with the Pew Center on the States, a nonpartisan think tank. And finally, there's this. California, a state that also doesn't restrict corporate or union expenditures, recently released a report examining how much of this type of money was spent in California elections over the last couple of years and who spent it. And of the whopping $88 million spent, half the money came from just 10 groups. And who those groups are is a little surprising. Topping the list, in first place, two individuals, a father and daughter, who together spent about $8 million trying to get Democrat Phil Angelides elected governor in 2006. He lost, by the way. In second place, Alliance for a Better California, an organization of teachers, healthcare workers, labor unions, and firefighters. They spent almost $5 million. In third place, the Pechanga Band of the Luceño Indians, who plunked down $4 million. In fact, in California, corporate groups occupy only two of the top 10 slots, meaning of the roughly $42 million the top 10 groups spent, $35 million of it came from labor unions, Indian tribes, teachers, and prison guards. Now, the authors of this report would no doubt be dismayed to see their work used by people like Eugene Volokh as justification for backing off of campaign finance legislation. After all, the report is quite strong in its urging that something be done about the flood of money into the political process. And it's weird, everyone I talked to agreed this is a problem. Special interest money plays too big a role in our government. They disagreed about the solutions, but they all thought something should be done. The Citizens United case will probably mean more money flowing into the system. But let's be honest, and I think my dad would agree, things were pretty bad already.